This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you watch the full game, there's a little like Carson Wentz in there. It's like, if you just had College Football Red Zone, you'd think the guy's a lot better than he is. But I'm not convinced, like, a full game, he's been awesome.
That's kind of where I'm at with Nussmeier. Like, I really like the talent and the profile.
There's no one without questions. And that's why I think this is such a fascinating exercise.
I think my thing with Arch is, I do agree there's a little anointing him too early, but I also kind of keep it simple. Do I think that Steve Sarkisian is going to be able to scheme up and make Arch look good? Yes, I do. But can I put him one? No. The real problem that I have is, are we really at the point where we want to say Cade Klubnik's the best returning quarterback?
I am. I don't think he has the most upside, but I think he's the best. And I'll say this too. Neither one of us are Drew Aller guys. But the last thing we saw of Drew Aller was a backbreaking, terrible interception. Drew Aller's going to be good this year.
Yeah, but like, okay, here's the other.
He's got two elite running backs in his backfield.
Here's my problem with Aller.
That takes pressure off.
And I admit that I do think Aller at times suffers for the same thing that I've been giving grace to some other quarterbacks. I don't think Penn State has good receivers. He did have Tyler Warren.
Yep, and he's gone.
But my problem with Aller is,
I mean, against Notre Dame, it's worth noting, he completed 12 passes and six were to Warren, 2 were to Singleton. I don't believe he completed a pass to a wide receiver in that game.
No, I think the stat was there were 3 targets to receiver and one of which was the interception.
Notre Dame also has a very good cornerback, had a very good cornerback duo.
Yeah, I guess though, my biggest problem with Aller is, I really pay attention to what do you do when the game's on the line? When the moment's the biggest and the pressure's on, what do you do? And I think back not only to the Notre Dame game in which he throws a head-scratching interception, but also, don't forget, they came all the way back and they had Oregon on the ropes.
Yeah.
And I still have no idea what he was doing throwing that fade ball that got picked. It was a fair catch. All right. So I think I'm going... I can't believe I'm doing this. I don't feel good about this. Am I really going Cade Klubnik 1? All right. Klubnik 1. Arch 2. Diego 3.
Woo-hoo. Love it.
Beck 4. Lagway 5. Nuss 6. I got to put, I'm not high on him, but like, I'm going to put Aller at 7.
No Levitt yet, huh?
I'll throw Levitt at 8, Sellers at 9, and I'm sticking my neck out there. I'm putting Jackson Arnold at 10. I'm scared Freeze has a bounce back because I think Arnold's good.
I think Miller Moss has a good year at Louisville.
I do too because he's with the right coach.
He's Brom. And I think, and, you know, it's worth noting, right, when you get smoked by a quarterback and then that coach wants you, that's also a little telling to me.
I agree.
Moss eviscerated them in the bowl game a year ago, I guess, you know, 2 seasons ago. And now he's like, I want that guy. So I'll go Klubnik 1. Oh, man. I don't. This is really hard.
It's not a fun exercise.
I'll go. See, here's the thing. I'm falling for the Nuss hype and raw ability, but I don't really trust him. But I'll go Nuss 2. I'll go. You didn't say Kevin Jennings. You're not a big Jennings guy?
No, how can you? Did you watch the Penn State game?
He was, well, I watched the Clemson game. I thought he was pretty good.
It's like, it's always, every time he's successful, it is just backyard football.
But he's going to have a good year.
I mean, that to me says more about the ACC. That's the other thing I don't like about Mateer. Mateer's doing the reverse Bo Nix. Bo was playing in the SEC, gets to the Pac-12, and he's like, this is awesome. There's space. There's not animals running all the way around. Like, this is awesome. He's doing the thing where he's going from the Mountain West to the SEC. Good luck.
Yeah, I'll agree with that take. I think that's a good one. I'll put Arch 3 just because of the potential. I'll go Sellers 4, Aller 5. And then I'll just put Julian Sain at 6 because he has Jeremiah Smith to throw the football to.
He's going to have numbers. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the list. We've done a nice job avoiding the Grizzlies, but we're going to have to talk about them. Also, really looking forward to having Mike Sanford join the program. He's going to talk to us about the NFL draft. I want to get his thoughts. He's seen a lot of Shedeur Sanders, so I want to get his thoughts on whether or not Shador's rightfully falling down draft boards. Talk about that. We'll do that during hour number 2. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Zen Sports app is getting a major upgrade soon. They'll be launching the new state-of-the-art VIP Play app later this month. You'll be able to bet on more than 200-plus sports leagues and parlay nearly every bet offered, period. I'll also have my own special same-game parlays featured and so many more of your favorite sports talk hosts here in Tennessee. You can head on over to zensports.com/VIP play to learn more and to claim an early welcome bonus offer on the VIP Play app when it launches later this month. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to wager. Let's get into the list. The Memphis Grizzlies. All right, Tim, the Grizzlies left no doubt last night. The Grizzlies have already had a quarter this year in which they gave up 50 points. They gave up 52 in the third quarter last night as the Minnesota Timberwolves basically put the Grizzlies, it's not officially into the play-in for sure, but they're going to have to do something that might be too much of an ask, in which the Grizzlies playing the 8:30 Central Time TNT game, and they arrived, I believe, in Denver last night at 4 a.m. They are going to have to turn around tonight and beat Denver on basically like 12 hours of rest. Tough ask.
Yep. And we'll talk to Mike Sanford here in 20 minutes, but he is of the belief it was addition by subtraction out there in the Mile High City with Michael Malone getting shown the door. So he thinks Adelman's the guy. Does that mean that they are guaranteed a victory tonight? Of course not, but yeah, I would say from a situational standpoint, very much favors the Denver Nuggets as they did not play last night and they are at home.
All right, so according to the NBA comms page, the Grizzlies, if they lose tonight in Denver, and I don't know, I haven't seen the updated. I saw 6.5 earlier today. Is it still roughly around there, Denver by 6.5?
I'm getting it for you right now. It is, mostly 6.5. There's a couple sevens, but 6.5, 7, yeah.
All right, so if the Grizzlies lose and the Warriors win at Portland, and to be fair, Portland is playing better than their record is right now, but
Golden State just lost to San Antonio.
Correct, but what are the odds of backing it up with, you know
Golden
what I mean?
Golden State, 14-point favorite. They were just around a 14-point favorite against San Antonio, but Golden State had been playing very good basketball up until their inexplicable loss to San Antonio.
So if the Grizzlies were to fall tonight and then Golden State wins, that means that they are locked into the playoff. The path to the Grizzlies avoiding the playoff would be to win, obviously, tonight and then turn around on Sunday and beat the Mavericks. And then I think at that point you're pulling for the Clippers to beat the Warriors, and I think that would be the path in. But this was the other thing I was thinking about last night, and I am just so over the Ja celebration discourse. Like, it's like,
you didn't like the grenade?
No. First of all, I thought it was hilarious. Like, I really did. Like, I think it was laugh out loud funny. And I do also think it kind of proves the NBA never really cared about the finger gun thing. The NBA cares about image. And I'm not saying that's a nothing burger, but the idea, and first off, Tim, it's not a grenade. It is taking the words and everything that's said about Ja, pulling the plug on them, throwing them out into the public and not listening to them. That's what it is. It's not pulling the pin of a grenade and launching it into the audience, which also last night, shout out to the fans, the few, the proud, the brave that were at FedEx Forum. When he would launch the grenade into the audience, they would go, boom! I thought that was fun, too. But, like, the idea that the celebration is some type of character evaluation, I'm just really over it.
No, I mean, I think we said our piece last week. I think it was overblown. However, when you're told directly, don't do it again, and then you do it again right away, I'm like, well, you kind of deserve to get fined.
Yeah, to me, it was
overblown for sure, but it was, once again, telling a child, don't do that or I'm going to take away this, and then they do it again. You're like, well, I don't want to take it away, but I have to.
Well, like, the other thing that was, there was a great spin zone I saw out there that
they blame it on Akshay Bhatia?
No, but this was his behaviors costing the Grizzlies. Listen, the Grizzlies were awful last night. The only reason it was even remotely a game in the first half was because Ja was awesome. And then Dez was awesome. Like, he hit 6 threes in a row. But the problem is people are acting like that he is somehow, like, costing his team with the celebrations. Like, no, this is basically the best he's played all season since he got hurt.
Isn't he averaging, like, 30 a night the last five games?
It's
phenomenal.
The problem is, Tim, they can't stop me and you. And now they're getting exposed for their injuries, in which you're down two of your top eight in Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells, and Edie is, you know, a rookie, and Santi is kind of a defensive non-factor, and if he's not scoring, then that's a problem. Scottie Pippen Jr. is the classic. You don't really want to say anything bad about him because he's been, for what he was expected to be, he's stepped up, and he's one of the guys that actually, like, does play hard. But the fact of the matter is he should be your third point guard, and they're playing him in a role in which he's getting 30 minutes a night. And, like, that's kind of the larger issue, is that you realize, other than Jaren, Ja, and Dez, they just don't have anything that is, like, playoff quality in terms of rotation around them.
And we could probably talk about this more next week, and maybe this is loser talk to an extent, but should we really have the play-in tournament in the Western Conference this year?
So that's funny that you ask, because my wife was like, what's the reaction of the play-in? Like, has it been good? And then I was like, well,
yeah, like, there's been moments.
There's been some competitive games, but
the,
like,
Lakers and Warriors the first year was really fun.
I mean, the Grizzlies had a fun Warriors play-in game to get into the eight during the weird COVID sometimes fan, not the bubble year, but the year that was right after it.
Right.
And, like,
well, that was after the Lakers and Warriors played that game, right?
Yes.
Am I remembering?
Because they
came down to the wire, LeBron hits a big shot,
yep,
and then no one thought the Grizzlies would yep win, and they ultimately won. So I bring it up to say this, right? So the Eastern Conference, the play-in makes a ton of sense, right? 7 through 10 right now determined by a total of 4 games. But in the West, we've got this jumbled mess from 3 through 8, And then it's an 8-game drop-off. So let's just play it how it is right now with the standings currently. So Grizzlies play the T-Wolves in Memphis again. Let's say, it doesn't matter. Let's say Minnesota loses. Memphis wins, they get the 7. Now Minnesota has to turn around and play Sacramento or Dallas, who are both under 500 teams in a one-and-done scenario. And I remember, I think it was Cuban talking about this, if I remember correctly, in the bubble in 2020, because the Mavericks had like 50 wins,
yeah,
and they had to play in the play-in against, I forget, maybe it was the Blazers or something like that. So I think the league overall, and I'll say for me, I enjoy it. Like I was skeptical of it, and we've had some good games. I was skeptical of the wild card game in baseball. I think that's been a success. I don't like it as much now that it's a 3-game series.
See, I'm the opposite. I like it as a 3-game series. It to me felt like a weird, it felt like the play-in tournament when it was the wild card game, and that you're like, is this postseason? I think at least the 3-game series does at least kind of, it has vibes of the playoffs.
I've been to a play-in game, and they are for Major League Baseball, and I know now it's gone, but man, that was a game 7. Like, the atmosphere there, I know Pittsburgh had like a stretch of like 7 straight years it felt like they were in that wild card game, but regardless, it's kind of bizarre to me that Memphis, Minnesota, Sacramento, and Dallas right now are all in the same tournament in theory to make it to the playoffs when Memphis and Minnesota are significantly better than Sacramento and Dallas.
The other problem, though, is...
like, I just don't know if there needs to be, like, a cutoff. Like, all right, 4 games difference, we just remove the play-in tournament.
Like, year. And also, like, sub-500. The complicating factor for the Grizzlies is going to be this.
Yeah, you've talked about this, right?
They're going to...
The draft situation.
They're going to wind up in the 7-8 game. If you make me bet, they're going to be on the road in the 7-8 game. I think right now, as currently constructed, based on, you know, who would win, the most likely scenario, and we still have a lot of games left because a lot of these teams are playing each other, can flip standings immediately, flips tiebreakers, but the most likely scenario would be the Grizzlies going on the road to Golden State, and they're going to be an underdog, and then they're going to lose. Then they're going to come back home and host either Dallas or Sacramento, as you point out, and the issue will be if they win, congratulations, you get to go play at most 5 games against the Thunder, and you lose your draft pick. If they lose that game, they will then at least keep their draft pick. And while everyone pretty much unanimously agrees one of the flaws of the Grizzlies roster is the lack of veterans, basically it's the difference between going into the offseason with an asset or with no asset. And so that's where I kind of struggle, because I do also think we leave out the competitive aspect of it. And I do think like the Grizzlies are falling into this trap of, because things have broken a certain way, the injuries are what they are, and their roster is what it is, there's just not the proper emphasis on winning, and I do think that's dangerous. Like, I don't think you need that culture in your organization.
Also, you would have a 1% chance of getting Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, and it's like even like that's like, I mean, obviously if that happened, like all of a sudden the outlook of the Grizzlies completely changes, but even like my bigger deal is, even if it's just the 14th pick, which is what it's likely to be, that's still better than going into the offseason with nothing. And that's what they would be going into the offseason with.
Right now, the 14th pick looks like either Liam McNeely from UConn or Jace Richardson from Michigan State.
I mean, another big thing that happened last night, and I don't know if this was matchup dependent, Luke Kennard is borderline, has the Y word, DNP last night.
Oof.
Now, you could talk me into the athleticism of the Timberwolves, like that was not a good Luke game, but it's something to monitor tonight. Definitely something to keep in mind.
I really don't want Cooper Flagg to go to the Jazz.
I just want him in the East. That's the biggest thing that I want. All right, quickly before we take a quick break and we get to Mike. College basketball. All right, Travis Branham of 24/7 Sports put this out on Twitter a little earlier today. There are at least 8 teams that will have a $10 million roster, at least a $10 million roster in college basketball next season, according to his sources. I think this is an interesting issue for Memphis, because Memphis is in this position where they have always been able to nationally compete in basketball at the highest level. But it's very obvious if this is the going rate, they can't do it. And so now, I'm starting to wonder this, man. How many teams, if this is the roster, how many teams can actually compete in this universe? Because this is where I know you and I, we've debated whether or not Cinderella's dead, and we don't really love the conversation in general, because hey, time will tell. I do think, though, this makes you realize, if this is going to be what it costs to just be, at the top 10 of the sport, we are really talking about maybe the end of it.
The end of the sport, or the end of...
The end of Cinderella. You know what I mean? The end, and you and I...
Well, I mean, we've always... what is Cinderella?
The idea that people act like that it was somehow always, right. That all of a sudden it's just now become unfair. It's well, that was dumb.
Right.
But I think
Loyola was never winning a title. George Mesa was never winning a title. I don't think the days of a run to the Final Four are dead, but I certainly think you're closing the window on the shocking NCAA champion. But I'll say this, Arkansas could have won a national title this year.
Yeah, but you and I talked about it. They weren't really Cinderella.
No, I know.
They eventually got back to where they should have been coming into the season. Based on their roster, the fact that they took a circuitous route, but they got to the end where they should have been, which was they should have been a second weekend team, and they did. But it was also kind of storytelling to get there.
Yeah, I don't know. A team like St. Mary's, they don't have a ton of cash flow. What I do think is kind of fascinating as a possibility is I think it's Iona. Didn't they fire Tobin Anderson?
They did.
And they brought in some random assistant, but his dad is super rich.
Well, I mean, this is kind of like what we saw Charlotte do with Biff.
With Biff? Well, that didn't work out.
Oh, boy. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about the Grizzlies and Nuggets, but more importantly, let's also get into the NFL draft. We'll do that with Mike Sanford next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Mike Sanford is the head football coach at Valor Christian in the Denver area, also a Broncos analyst, college football insider for VSiN. Coach, I think let's start first and foremost with you. Do you have enough gigs? I feel like you maybe got room to squeeze in another one.
Well, here we are, right, Tim? and great place that I love, Memphis, Tennessee, man. And as a Denver Nugget guy, for Ja Morant to be back in Shotgun Willie's territory here in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, so this, of course, the site. I think this is Ja's first return since the scene of the crime. I had a buddy's wedding last year in Denver. I just didn't realize it's just like in a strip mall. Like, we tried to like look up, be like, maybe explore, see where it happened. It did not, when I was looking on Google Maps, it did not strike me as a place that you'd see a gentleman's establishment.
Yeah, well, isn't that about all gentlemen's establishments?
Probably fair.
You know, if we're going to be really honest. But yeah, it was wild because at the time, and I actually did the math on it, it's 771 days. since Ja Morant was at Shotgun Willie's, and he's been able to recreate the moment with his phalanges in the air, which has been a really impressive move. But it was 771 days. So I just started at Altitude Sports Radio at the time, and we were in an office high rise tower that you could see Shotgun Willie's from our studio. And it was like, wait, that's where it went down? Yeah, sure was. And so Ja Morant became famous. But more importantly, I think there's no better publicity for Shotgun Willie's than what Ja Morant did. So here we are again.
Definitely was my fantasy football team name for at least a year. I can definitely say that. We'll get into some Grizzlies in Denver tonight, although I don't have a lot of reason to have optimism for the Grizzlies. A, the travel was miserable, and B, the roster right now is kind of a problem. But someone that I wanted to ask you about, because this is an interesting draft in the sense where I don't really know if anyone loves any of the quarterbacks, But am I missing something? I feel like Shador's got a little too much negative momentum right now than I think the film and the tape would show. How do you feel about him right now?
I feel the exact same way. And I think the reason why he's got a lot of negative juice right now is because that negativity, it creates clicks. It sells. And I think even, you know, Todd McShay, who I respect, I really like, both as a dude and as a guy that I respect his draft takes. Jackson Dart being ahead of Shador Sanders is nothing that I would ever even remotely adhere to. Now, all you got to watch is watch the film of Jackson Dart against the University of Kentucky. Tell me if that's a guy you want running your franchise.
Did you watch the Florida game either?
Yeah,
I mean, so my spirit of full disclosure, my wife's a big Ole Miss fan. My family are Ole Miss people. I'm with you. My biggest problem with Jackson is, man, when the game gets tight, that's not his best throws. Those aren't his best decisions. And I don't feel the same way about Shador. When the game, everyone wants to point the BYU
that's
game.
When he plays his best.
Yes.
I mean, and I would say the BYU game was such a weird one, right? Because it was a bowl game. Now, who knows with these non-college football playoff bowl games? And frankly, who knows with any of these actual college football playoff games anymore? Because of what's going on NIL and portal-wise as those games are being played. But yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly that I think the NFL and I'd say franchise quarterbacks, it's all about what you do on third down, and it's what you do when the game's on the line in a two-minute situation. And I would say that the overwhelming favorite to be the best projection in the National Football League at the quarterback position is Shador Sanders in those two categories. I think he's better than Cam Ward. I think he's clearly better than Jackson Dart in those two areas. And I think anybody who says Tyler Shuck, while I think he's an awesome kid, he's built to be a backup quarterback in the National Football League for 10 years.
Mike Sanford joining us here. He does work out in Denver on Altitude Sports Radio. Also now the new head coach of Valor Christian. What's the name of your alma mater, Jeffrey?
That would be the Memphis University School.
All right, we got to get that in the works there as a home and home situation.
Yeah, there you go.
But Mike, you mentioned
ironically, I was thinking about trying to call MUS. I've recruited the Memphis area for a lot of years when I was the head coach of Western Kentucky. I was like, man, that'd be a very like-minded rivalry of two really good academic powers, and MUS has a great program. That'd be a lot of fun.
We got to get it. We're in transition.
But
right?
Here's you know the thing, I mean? Jeffrey. You could get a trip out to Denver.
Yeah,
man.
No, I'm all for that.
You're the voice of your alma mater.
If I'm gonna spend $5,000 to go, I'd like to at least have a competitive roster right now. We're working on getting that.
I could speak to this. Coach has got a lovely guest house that I have spent a night in, so I will put that out there. All right, let's get to Cam Ward, because the Tennessee Titans are, barring a shocking revelation, are going to select Cam Ward here. And we talked about it briefly on my show last night on VSiN, Mike, so I want you to bring it to these airwaves. You are not a big fan of this decision by the Titans organization to hitch their wagon to Cam Ward.
Yeah, and I know Brian Callahan well. He's a guy that I coached in the same city as he was a high school coach, believe it or not, at Sarah High School in San Mateo, California, home of Barry Bonds, Lynn Swan, and Tom Brady.
Who?
A little useless trivia there. And I was coaching at Stanford at the time. I love Brian Callahan. He's a great dude. But I think this is a make-or-break year. This is a year where he's got to go out and show some form of hope. And right now, like, I don't think Cam Ward's a NFL-ready starting quarterback. So at the end of the day, looking out for my buddy, Brian Callahan, I think this is going to be a bad mistake. I think that you go and draft the best player, without question, generational talent in this draft, the overall, by far, best player in this draft, and it's Travis Hunter. If you do that, I think that you show the hope, and you bide your time to get the quarterback that you truly do want. I don't think that's necessarily completely off the table either. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But if you watch Travis Hunter play the wide receiver position, you can say that there's only one NFL player that is even in the same category with ball skills, and that's Justin Jefferson. So I think that you imagine how many jerseys would sell in the mid Tennessee area, Western Tennessee and East Tennessee, if you go ahead and draft Travis Hunter. That would be an incredible draft pick, and I think that's the kind of guy that could be the face of the franchise and transform and give hope to a franchise that just hasn't had a ton of it in the recent years.
So you'd play him at receiver?
I'd play him at receiver, and I would use him as a matchup nickel slash corner.
Yeah.
Against really, really elite players that you want to eliminate.
No, because it's funny that you mentioned Justin, because I actually was thinking what might have changed, because it felt like forever to be a number one receiver, you had to look the part. But I was kind of wondering if Ja'Marr Chase had kind of changed the way people think, with the exception of Tyreek. But Tyreek's just so fast that, like, that's a different level. Because when I watch Travis play receiver, it's like I can kind of see Justin, or not, I beg your pardon, I can see Ja'Marr Chase kind of being the fit more so than Jefferson.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I just having been around Travis Hunter, I look at Ja'Marr Chase as a big, physical, thick son of a gun. Right?
Yeah.
I think of Travis Hunter as wiry, see ball, get ball type of player. And so I think that there's they're both incredible athletes. I think what separates Justin Jefferson, in my opinion, is when he's right, when the Vikings are right, he's the type of guy that you just throw the ball in his general vicinity, he comes down with it. And I think that Travis Hunter, he's already proven that on the college landscape that he can do that.
Mike Sanford, once again, hanging with us. You can catch him on Altitude Sports Radio out in Denver. Also, back on the sidelines this upcoming year as he'll be the head coach of Valor Christian, the alma mater of Christian McCaffrey. I joked last night he needs to figure out cloning so he can get another Christian McCaffrey. Even a Luke McCaffrey would work out well, as he's no chump either there with the Washington Commanders. All right, let's go a little bit further down, Coach. Who are some quarterbacks that, you know, once again, shouldn't be in the first round, but as you look at their college tape, you think they could be a solid backup and maybe a starter at some point in the league?
Yeah, the two guys that I'm a big fan of, I think winners at various levels. If you're a winner in high school, at a very high level, I think you end up becoming a winner in college. If you're a winner in college, I think you become a winner in the National Football League. And there's two guys that you got to look no further than the CFP, the College Football Playoff title game this year, and both Riley Leonard, who gives you athleticism, the ability to run, a toughness, a guy that you could tell is going to be great with whatever role he's asked to do. I think Taysom Hill when I see Riley Leonard. Now, is he going to end up with Sean Payton in Denver with a fifth to seventh round pick? I don't know, but that'd be exciting to me. It'd be intriguing. And then I think also of Will Howard, who I think is you know, a very poor man's Josh Allen, but big, physical, had a really tough combine. But you know who else had a tough combine? Bo Nix did, and Bo Nix was chomping at the heels of Jaden Daniels as a potential rookie of the year this past season. But winners stay winners, and I think that's something that is more than capable of a guy like Will Howard.
Mike, obviously, evaluating quarterbacks has always been kind of inexact science. I heard it once put that it's kind of the closest thing we have to alchemy. Like, you don't really know, like, what there's no specific traits that it works for this guy, therefore it'll work for everyone. But does it not seem like it's even harder now to evaluate quarterbacks? Because I feel like I don't know whether it's the RPOs in the college game, like the way that offenses have spread it out. Like, I don't know. It feels like it's even harder than it was like 10 years ago to evaluate, like, this guy's going to be good. It feels like it's more of a crapshoot now.
It really is. And I'd say this, when you look at the last year's draft class, there was a really strong argument that could be made for almost all six of those quarterbacks that they might be the best quarterback in that draft class from a different perspective,
sure,
right? Like Sean Payton and how he likes to use his quarterbacks. He wanted a guy he could program. Bo Nix was awesome in that perspective, right? He's not a guy who overly relies on the creative playmaking ability. He's going to take what the defense gives him, and he's going to do what his offensive coordinator has designed the plays to do. I think then you look at other quarterbacks in that draft class, there's other ways you can look. So it's more about, I think, what's in the eye of the beholder. The problem is I don't think that anybody with a clear conscience could say that Cam Ward would have been a top three quarterback in last year's draft class. And frankly, I don't know if you could really argue that he'd be, if you re-established and re-evaluated last year's draft class, where would Cam Ward have been?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, because this is something that that Tim and I have discussed. Like, I'm also higher on Penix. Like, to your point,
Oh, Mike loves Penix, by the way. Get him going on Michael Penix.
Well, like with Penix, it's like if you want to make the case of why should he have been the number one quarterback, he's the best thrower. Like he, like clearly, like he is the best thrower. And at the end of the day, it's like you have to make throws. Like, does that mean if I had the number one pick, I'm taking him? No, but like I could have made a case for him. I know everyone freaked out about what the Falcons did. I thought the order of the quarterbacks was like how I would have evaluated it. So I don't think he's, I don't think either of these guys would be like, at best, I think they'd be the fifth quarter. You could talk me into taking him in front of JJ.
Yeah, and even then, like, can you say without question that Cam Ward is a better fit for the Tennessee Titans than Bo Nix is? Can you say
no.
that?
No, because, like, to your point, there's also this question about quarterbacking. How much of it is your potential and your ceiling versus how much of it is like, maybe sometimes you should pop in, like, what are the worst plays guys make? Because that is the thing. Like, Cam is an exciting player. There's no doubt. All the tools in the world, everything. But his bad plays are like, oh my God, bad plays. And sometimes that's kind of what quarterbacking is. It's like, make sure your bad plays are not like excruciating and killing your team.
Yeah, and that's the problem. When I watch Cam Ward and I watch the film, I see all the plays that didn't necessarily statistically lead to an interception or a turnover, but very easily could have. Right,
and a lot of and probably would in the NFL when there's more speed in the deep in the backfield,
right? Yeah. And that's what I see. And so, here's what I look at with Cam Ward. I think he is a freakish athlete. I think he can run around, make plays. He's physical. He's strong. He can break tackles. He is creative. But I think my comp on him is he is a stronger armed but lesser quarterback than Caleb Williams. And I think some of the frustrating things about Caleb Williams. Taking sacks, which you could certainly say about Shedeur Sanders as well. But also sometimes like they're guys that hunt the big play as opposed to just take what the defense gives you. And that's what Bo Nix was so good at in college. People would call him a checkdown merchant. We're like, that was the right decision. Well, I think a lot most NFL quarterbacks.
I don't know how you feel, but it's my biggest problem with Milroe. Like it's just everything is just home run, like just trying to hit the home run. It's like, dude, that crossing route was so open and you never even sniffed it.
Yeah, I agree. It's like with Jalen Milroe, like anybody who's talking about him, you know, you clearly weren't at the Senior Bowl or even watched the Senior Bowl. You weren't at the Combine and watched the Combine. Jalen Milroe is like a tremendous athlete. But frankly, let's just call a spade a spade. He dang near got his head coach fired this past season.
Yeah.
And he also, Nick Saban retired as a result of having Jalen Milroe as his quarterback and not seeing any path forward. He's good enough to kind of fire you up, but he certainly is bad enough to get you fired.
All right, before we let you go, so the thing that's interesting, we've been talking about all week, whether or not the Grizzlies paved the way for Denver to fire their head coach at the end of the season. Because the thing that's interesting, other than the tension between Booth and Malone, if you just read the coaching of the team, it was basically you could have subbed in Grizzlies for Nuggets. When you look at how this decision was made, do you think this was in the best interest of this team this year, or do you think this was trying to get ahead of it and getting on with it with a decision you've already made?
Well, I just got off a 2-hour radio program here in Denver and always talk about how this is the biggest regular season game in Nuggets probably in the last 3, 4, 5 years. This is a humongous game for them, and I think number one is that you felt that there was more oxygen, there was more room to breathe as a result of moving on from Michael Malone, who was a guy that kind of had a stranglehold on the narrative of what the franchise was doing and wanted to be the narrator, if you will, for the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are in a little bit different space than the Grizzlies in the fact that they have an established player that I think is the greatest player on planet Earth in Nikola Jokic, but also has won a championship. And you've done it with a core that has won a championship. I just think the message just got stale. I think that Michael Malone didn't allow for player leadership. And I think that David Adelman is the perfect guy at the perfect time with a really good basketball mind, but also will allow Christian Brown to lead and Nikola Jokic to lead. And when you watch that game against the Sacramento Kings, Nikola Jokic barely could speak after the game because his voice was so hoarse. And it reminded all of us here in Denver of the Nikola Jokic that we saw in the Olympics playing for his native country of Serbia, where it was just different. It looked like he had a different level of ownership. That's what I think David Adelman allowed for his players to do. I think that the Nuggets are in a really good space, but you can get the interim head coach bump in one game. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens tonight and certainly against the Rockets. Because if you win these three games going into the postseason, I believe that the Denver Nuggets are the hottest team in the NBA because they'll be rested. You saw, I don't know if you just saw this, Jamal Murray all of a sudden miraculously.
Oh, his back got better?
He is.
Ja had a little bit of that too. He had some Jenkins flu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Jamal Murray and Michael Malone were at odds.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. You know why? Because Michael Malone kept pointing to Russell Westbrook. This is what we need more of. We need the guy. And I'm like, really? Have you watched Russell Westbrook when the game's on the line? He loves throwing the basketball to the other team. David Adelman has addressed that. And he had Russell Westbrook play 17 minutes in his first game as the head coach. And he played him in that kind of middle, the middle 20 minutes as opposed to the opening minutes and the closing minutes. I think that's going to be really important.
Mike, you're great to join us. We really appreciate it, my man.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
That is Mike Sanford of course, VSiN, Altitude Sports Radio, also now the head coach at Valor Christian. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I'm just going with my boy Rory McIlroy. He is just on quite the storytelling mission for me. Like, hey, why do we make double bogeys so that we can come back and fire 66 today and just break everyone's heart a little bit more, particularly mine?
Bogey-free 66 roars. Would have been nice if we didn't have those doubles, but...
The wind is howling right
Scotty's
now.
Scotty's struggling a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little scratchy out there. All right, my man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.